This is one of those messages that I really debated. I thought about doing this sort of a message for a while. I think it's necessary, though. Probably won't keep you very long today. I want to make a few points. The title of my message is Only Wicked All the Time. Now, the Pentecostal movement, we talked about a little bit this in Sunday school today, they have always claimed that there's going to be this great revival in the last days, and they're going to win over towns and counties and large cities and provinces and then nations and continents, and eventually we're going to win the entire world for Christ, and we're going to get to the point where the revivals will be so strong and influential that the very presence of the Spirit of God will fall down onto large populated areas, and multitudes will be compelled to come to Christ, and they're going to be moved by His presence. And this all sounds very wonderful, but unfortunately it's not scriptural. In Luke 17, verse 26, Jesus said, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man." Well, in Genesis 6:5, we learn what it was like just before the days of Noah. It says, "When the Lord saw that man's wickedness was widespread on the earth, and that every scheme his mind thought of was nothing but evil all the time." And dropping down to verse 11 of Genesis chapter 6, he said, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with wickedness." And verse 12, "God saw how corrupt the earth was, for every creature had corrupted its way on the earth." So I submit to you today that we are engaged in a spiritual battle, and it's going to get bad. It's going to get really bad. The question is, how much of it will we see? Now, Revelation 3:10, which is our key verse for today, says, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." He is speaking this to the Church of Philadelphia, which is the true church, not any specific denomination, but made up of true Christians. And he says, "I'm going to keep you from this hour of trial," meaning the tribulation period. So we are going to be spared from having to endure the tribulation period. But how bad will it get before we get taken up prior to that? What is going on today is a lot more wicked than most people think. In other words, we're further along towards this goal, I guess you could say, of having all wickedness all the time. What's happening today and what's happened over the last 2 years, if you understand the facts behind it, reveal that there is more wickedness than we could ever have thought of. Now, I'm going to give you an example. A lot of these facts have come from this book that I've read. My sister Dreema has read it. My sister Patty is reading it now. She's a nurse. Natalie knows her. It's called The Real Anthony Fauci by Robert Kennedy Jr. And it's a very, very good book and very well noted. A lot of references to it. So just think about these things. I'm going to give you some facts. And in a short time, I'm not going to dwell on it too long, but in a short time, you're going to see the evil that has been going on in the last 2 years. So if we go back to, say, 2019, say the summer of 2019, before all this stuff started to happen, okay, we had a drug called hydroxychloroquine, or HCQ for short. It was used all over the world. It was used in third world countries to combat malaria. And Robert Kennedy himself had been to third world countries many times, and every time he went over there, they'd give him this hydroxychloroquine so he wouldn't get malaria. It's also very, very good for arthritis. It's very, very good for lupus. Arthritis and lupus sufferers have been taking it for 65 years. There have been 200 clinical studies on hydroxychloroquine, and it was deemed an extremely safe medicine In some countries, you could get it over the counter. Okay? Now, the other drug, ivermectin, there's been 60 studies done on it, and it was such a wonder drug that it won a Nobel Prize in 2015, and they don't always give Nobel Prizes to medications. It had been many years since they had done that. The reason it won a Nobel Prize was because it was extremely good at curing people and killing parasites within people. So good that people coming into this country from third world countries were made, they had to take ivermectin. Our government said, you must take this drug to get rid of your parasites before you can come in here. Well, there were doctors back when the virus first hit, when it was first public in March of 2020, remember it well, there were doctors, they called them frontline doctors because they were working on the front line. They were working with patients and they were trying to figure out, how can we combat this? It's going to be a long, long time till we get a vaccine. And so what can we do in the meantime? So these doctors, they corroborated with other doctors from around the world. They talked to them, which is what they're supposed to do, and they compared notes. And they tried to come up with things that people could take to protect themselves from this virus. And they came up with things like high doses of vitamin C, high doses of vitamin D3, azithromycin, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and quercetin, and zinc. And they found out that the key to all this working was to give it early, within the first 5 to 7 days. Wasn't that effective after, say, the 9th or 10th day? Sometimes it helped people, but a lot of times it didn't. But it was very effective if they gave it early. So the idea was if someone started having symptoms, they could call in, the doctors would call in a prescription. They could either have it delivered or they run to the drugstore, maybe somebody else go for them and get the medication, take it home, let them treat themselves at home rather than have to go to the hospital and infect people. And they had great success with it. Then they also looked at other things like antiseptic mouthwashes. They found out that they helped. And there were like nasal rinses they found out that helped. They found out that certain asthma medication like budesonide was very, very helpful. Then meantime, Anthony Fauci does these experiments on remdesivir. Remdesivir costs $10 to make and sells for over $3,000 a dose. It's a very dangerous drug. It's known to be damaging to the kidneys. The clinical trials were so bad that they had to cut them short, and then they had to manipulate the data to make it look safer because people were dying during the clinical trials. However, Anthony Fauci sat on the couch in the White House and declared it safe to use, and he approved its use anyway. And the CDC was stunned because they hadn't approved it. He took it upon himself to approve it. So these frontline doctors that are working with these protocols, they're having a lot of success. They're treating patients and they're getting well, and they're thinking, we got this thing, you know, we've got this thing under control. And they were using these things that I've talked about. But then during the summer of 2020, after seeing these results that these doctors were getting, Anthony Fauci sent out a directive banning all doctors from using any drug to fight COVID with the exception of remdesivir, the deadly one. He said if they continued using HCQ or ivermectin, they could lose their medical licenses. I heard a doctor the other day being interviewed, and he broke down and cried. Because he said at that time he was not allowed to treat his patients with what he knew would help them. So why? Why would he withhold the treatment with drugs that he knew were life-saving and approve only one drug that was shown to be extremely dangerous? Why would he do that? The other thing about Fauci is he never once said anything about boosting the immune system. Not one time. The only thing he said was quarantining, social distance, masks, all these other things, until a vaccine could come available. Well, here's why he did it. Number one, there's going to be billions of dollars made with the vaccines, understandably. I get that. But they rushed the vaccine. It usually takes 5 to 10 years to come up with a vaccine. This was come up in 9 to 10 months. Well, the only way you can do that legally is to have this vaccine under emergency use authorization. If you've got a pandemic and there's a reason for it, you can say, okay, we're going to put this vaccine out under emergency use because it's just rushed before it's rushed too soon. You can't have an approved vaccine that quickly, but you can approve it for emergency use only. But you can't have emergency use if there's another treatment. Okay? You can't have emergency use authorization if there's any other way to treat it, because if there's a way to treat it, then it's not an emergency. And so if you can treat it with these other drugs, you don't need a vaccine. And if you don't need a vaccine, you don't get billions of dollars for the pharmaceutical companies. I'm not making this stuff up. It's not only in this book, but it's other places if you look. As a matter of fact, some doctors have outright accused Anthony Fauci of mass murder. But it wasn't just him. It wasn't just him. There were evil people all over the world that were involved in this. Remember I told you that some countries had hydroxychloroquine over the counter? Well, in February of 2020, the country of France all of a sudden took hydroxychloroquine off of that and made it a prescription before March of 2020, a month before. And then 2 weeks after that, Canada did the same thing. They took it from over the counter and made it a prescription drug so they could control it. Now, I did mention quercetin. Hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and quercetin do the same thing. They push zinc into the cell, and zinc kills the virus. But zinc can't get in there by itself. They have to have one of these other drugs push it in there, and that's how they work. They're also anti-inflammatories. They work different ways, but that's the main mechanism. They push the zinc in the cell, and then it kills the cell. We use quercetin every day because you don't have to have a prescription, and it's not an over-the-counter drug. It's a nutrient. You can get it at a health food store. So we use that every day to help protect ourselves. But my point is this. We are living in an extremely wicked world right now. There are leading globalists who have stated that the world is overpopulated and we need to reduce it by whatever means necessary. And Bill Gates is one of them. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, it says, enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, if it's bad enough now, and from what I've told you this morning, it's probably a lot worse than you thought it was. And most people don't understand what's been going on behind the scenes. But if it's this bad now, if there's this much evil in the world now that men are willing to sacrifice lives to make billions of dollars, then how bad is it going to be after the church is removed? We're the only thing, the Holy Spirit within us, the church itself, is the only thing holding back this. So it seems to me like after the church is removed, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. I'm going to read that again, Genesis 6:5. When the Lord saw that man's wickedness was widespread on the earth and that every scheme in his mind thought of nothing but evil all the time. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you. He's not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And then in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements will burn and be dissolved, and the earth and the works on it will be disclosed. So there's going to come a day when God's patience is going to run out. And judgment in the form of the tribulation will be the result. But he's going to remove his children before this starts. He will save his children from his wrath. I don't know when all this is going to happen, but it sure looks to me like we're approaching the level of wickedness that existed before the flood in Noah's day. But God saved Noah. He saved Noah and his family from the judgment, and he will save us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we live in troubling times, and the more we find out about things, the more troubling it seems. Again, just knowing this, Lord, should motivate us two ways. It should give us peace and calmness, knowing that we're going to be okay. But at the same time, we should be so concerned for our lost loved ones, our family members, our co-workers who don't know you. And the more we start to understand how close the times might be, how close we are to the end times, how close we are to be taken up to be with you, all the more we should have that urgency to want to talk to and convince those that we love who don't know you that they need you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Our last song is 369. I'll see if I can do better on this one. 369. I can hear my Savior calling. 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 Take my cross and follow me. Okay, let's do the first three verses and then we'll do the chorus there. I'll go with you through the garden. I'll go with you through the garden. I'll go with you through the garden. I'll go with him all. So much for that, and continue to give us a burden for the loss. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.